A very good morning and welcome to the Trading Bell Town Hall. Thank you so much for joining us here. And today it's all about the current IPO that is running. We want to get to the conversation with the relevant persons or the leaders in this who are helping us in this conversations and giving us a lot of information about it. And I hope, by the way, by now, you have already considered or even sent in some money, especially with this Jan salary, if you're that kind of person. But yes, it's still ongoing and there's a lot of conversation about it, but we're here to clear the air. Any questions you may have, feel free to interact. Starting off in this conversation is Dr. Belgrad Kenny, the lead transaction advisor.
Foreign, we have the South African. And if you look at that demand, I will tell you this, that, you know, within the, and again, among Kenyans, the conversation is going. And for us, I've been saying this, that the largest metric of success will be how many Kenyan were involved in this issue. So really, in terms of reception, we're very confident that the issue will be oversubscribed. Yeah. But our objective remains, you know, onboarding as many Kenyan as possible. Because remember, one of the key policy objective of privatizing through an IPO is because we wanted, you know, to democratize the ownership of this national assets.
Excellent. And definitely we'll measure that, as you have said, in terms of success. One of the key questions that have been coming up is about the valuation, and being the lead transaction advisor, definitely you're on the table ensuring that we come up with a price that is competitive. So maybe you could shed some light to the persons who could be asking and everybody else who's listening today, what valuation methodology you considered for KPC and how you arrived to the price.
That's a very good question, very relevant, timely. Yeah. And I want to say that, you know, speaking loudest about valuation does not make you right. You know, we've seen across board, you know, people who barely have qualification to talk about this subject matter being loudest about it, including the Honourable Member of Parliament. And I want to, you know, clarify that, you know, it's a process that's regulated. You know, it is undertaken by experts. And when you talk about methodology, analysts in the room will tell you that, you know, there are three ways of looking at the value of a company, you know, whether you're looking at it through the income or the assets or, you know, comparing it to peers. And those are the methods that were considered. Now, coming to the public, it was important to make it as simple as possible, you know, with a metric that is relevant, that is the EV/EBITDA, looking at the income, and that is at the operating level, but also a metric that's comparable to peers. So really, in terms of methodology, I would say that it was a process where a significant due diligence was carried out, you know, on the issuer, that is KPC. You know, we had our legal team, you know, looking through, our technical people, looking through, you know, the financial due diligence was carried out, tax, and you name it. And so that would inform then, you know, the valuation team as to, you know, how to proceed. Again, you know, when you talk about asset valuation, you know, there was a professional fixed asset valuer who went around this country, looking at the tangible and intangible assets of KPC, you know, signing off at around 124 billion, you know, a company with no debt. So all that put together then informed, you know, valuation that was literally looking at, you know, in this country, do we have a comparable, you know, to KPC when it comes to the nature of the business of KPC, that is storage and transportation of fuel. Now, you know, so when we talk about the income base, the asset base, and the peers, then you start looking at, you know, how to simplify this to the Kenyan public. Because, you know, analysts will tell you we triangulate. Valuation is not, you know, an exercise in isolation. So it's guided by international valuation standard. And beyond that, we actually carry out what we're calling a market sounding exercise with our topmost fund managers in this country. And the consensus metric was, you know, they all use EV/EBITDA for that matter. And why is it relevant? Because, you know, though that's a proxy of operating cash flow. And we always argue that, you know, the lower you go to your bottom line, the higher the likelihood of manipulating earnings. So EBITDA actually, you know, adjust for, you know, differences in accounting policies, differences in, you know, your depreciation, you know, your tax, and even the capital structure of the business. Now, for those reasons, on two comparables, there are more than two companies in India, you know, operating within that particular sector. But then we found two closest related to the business of KPC, and then two also in the developed market, so that we ultimately are geographical neutral. So when you look at that and you look at how they are trading and comparing them, you know, the median EBITDA for those companies was around 9.56. Okay. We're offering this particular issue at 8.1. And if you allow me, I would just want to take, you know, a minute to talk about, you know, what has been said in this country, comparing, you know, KPC with the likes of Total, with the likes of Kengen, with the likes of KPLC. It's an opportunity for me, you know, to actually compare those companies by actually insisting on the difference or in their business. If you look at Total, I want to start there with all due respect. Last I checked, the total market capitalization of Total is 6 billion shillings. The cash that is sitting on the book of KPC is 16.2 billion. So if you just look at the size, you know, Total is competing with 145 other oil marketers. We're talking about monopoly here. All right, so just in terms of size, Total is a downstream player, and we're talking about midstream. And really, in terms of comparison, if the cash of KPC alone is more than double the total capitalization of Total, I'm not sure I want to spend time, you know, comparing that again, because we're talking about an oil marketer, a downstream player. And, you know, so back to the utilities, which is really where the comparison is. You know, we're talking about KPLC and Kengen. If you look at KPLC today, you know, the book value that is being traded at is around 0.22x. Okay, so we are saying this, that if we were to look at KPC total asset, the 124 that I told you about, and then we're coming to market to sell it at 22 cents a shilling, you know, that's basically taking a public asset, that is the Kenyan asset, and moving it into private hand, you know, at less than a quarter of its value, which for you and I will agree, that's not even thinkable, okay? So the nature of the businesses are very different. And when you, if indeed the honorable member is telling you that KPLC is trading at 1.1 PE, I want to ask you one simple question. Why are you not all issuing a recommendation to OQ and buy into KPLC? If it's the greatest opportunity in the land, why is it that investors are still shying away from going into KPLC? The same will apply to Kengen. If indeed it is the greatest opportunity with a PE of 6x, why is it that all these analysts have not told investors that do not put your money anywhere else, but go into that? I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
The PE ratio of the NSE is at 44x. And when you say 44, it is because investors have seen an opportunity to price in the many activities that are happening in the market. There is an outlook and an expectation on income that is priced in. And that's why you see everyone queuing. So high PE does not necessarily mean that you're expensive. I want to demystify that. Because when you're comparing companies, there are two things you must always adjust for. And do not fall in the trap of politics. Because some of the members of parliament talking about these comparisons, they're playing politics with Kenyan savings and by extension with Kenyan investments. And identify or certify to talk about valuation. So it's important that we come back to it. Now, when you're comparing companies, you have to adjust for two things, the margins and growth, okay? Because if we all sat here and look at PE, then we should all agree that all companies at exchange should trade at 1x, should trade at 6x, because that's what we're being told that KPLC and Kengen are trading at. But why do we have some at 44x like the stock exchange? Why do we have Safaricom at 17x? And I want to clarify that if you look at the forward numbers of KPC, we have 5 years, I mean, 5 months rather, we have 5 months to go to the end of the financial year. The financial year of this company is June 30th. So we're entering February, we're pretty much there. We've provided, you know, prospective financial information in the information memorandum where analysts and investors can see that Q1 numbers are already giving you a top line of 10 billion. All right, and projected, that top line is 41 billion. The bottom line is 9.6 billion. When you move that into a net margin, you're talking about a net margin of 24%. Do you know what net margin KPLC is trading at? Now, KPLC. Okay, so you cannot compare purely from a margin play, you know, KPC and KPLC. You know, I've granted that, yes, we can use PE. PE, then people will be telling you that it will take you, I don't know, X number of years to recover your money. Not when you're growing faster than peers. Not when you have higher margin. Because here we're talking about a company with a net margin of 25%, yeah. which is barely equal mm-hmm. to, you know, the KPLC EBITDA margin.
Okay.
I've talked about growth yeah. being a second variable.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about margins and growth.
Okay.
Now, let's look at growth. If you look at the CAGR, which is what analysts will tell you, it's a compounded annual growth rate.
Mm-hmm.
KPC, despite the bureaucracy of government, they've been able to deliver a CAGR of 8.4%. The comparable in this market is Safaricom.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at KPLC, their CAGR is barely 2%. The same applies to Kengen in terms of growth. We've talked about margin, and I've told you where, you know, KPLC margins sit. Mm-hmm. Yes, someone in the room will tell me that Kengen EBITDA is at 60%. But have you looked at its growth? Kengen is all growing.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 2%.
Yeah.
And then there will be a conversation around dividend yield, which I want to pause on that. Because when we talk about dividend yield, it is a part of the return. You know, return at the exchange are not purely looked at through the lenses of dividend. You know, total return is a function of dividend and price. And when we tell you about, you know, the price that has been factored in yield, but in the absence of growth or capital appreciation, you know, that equation is partial. And therefore, when you look at this quote-unquote high dividend yield that is trading below dividend is only one side of the story. So high dividend yield does not necessarily mean that, you know, you're probably PE at 1x. If we're looking at dividend yield at 6 or so, why is it that we're not all there? Okay? So back to that conversation of dividend, yes, it is relatively high perception because remember, the book valuation have been depressed. Okay? So globally speaking, these are not companies that you'd want to compare to KPC.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you what the comparable is in this market.
What is it?
When it comes to KPC.
Mm-hmm.
The only company you can compare KPC to is Safaricom.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. If you add the capitalization of Kengen at around 63 billion, KPLC at around 29 billion, Total at 6 billion. And I'm telling you, 6 billion is barely half the cash KPC sitting at. If you total that capitalization, it's barely giving you 100 billion. We're talking about KPC market cap going into the market at 164 billion. So in terms of size alone, there's no comparison. We talked about Safaricom. Let's talk about the CAGR of Safaricom. It's at 8.8% over the past 5 years. The CAGR of KPC is at 8.4%, despite government bureaucracy. The net margin, let's talk about it. The EBITDA of Safaricom stands at 50%. The EBITDA margin of KPC is at 49%. The dividend yield of KPC, some people talk about 3.9%. The dividend yield of Safaricom is at 4.1%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it purely from a comparable point of view, you'll find that KPC 1.7x book value is actually lower than the Safaricom, you know, 5x book value, for instance. Now, that was historical.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about when it comes to going forward in terms of CAGR? Okay? Mm-hmm. I would believe that outside the PPDA and PFM, SRC and all that, KPC will grow faster than Safaricom. Now, the PE ratio, the most talked about.
Yeah.
What is the PE ratio from a CAGR on the top line? On the margin, like for like, on the dividend yield, pretty close, and a PE ratio that is pretty much similar, then you hear a member of parliament telling us in this country that Safaricom at a PE of 17x is undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
If I go by that rationale, then KPC at a PE of 16.9x is undervalued. Let's not have double speak because we want to play politics with Kenyan money. All right? So we cannot allow pedestrian thinking to overcrowd and overshadow, you know, our analysis.
Okay.
And for those reasons,
yeah.
I want to tell you that this issue
yeah.
was offered, you know,
yeah.
at a discount to peers. And why did we go for discount to the 9.5 that we've seen in those markets? Because the cost of capital might change and might be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those markets, a significant portion of its revenue in US dollars. Okay, where we have a natural hedge. And in the past, 2015 to 25, they have actually serviced a 350 mil secured in USD term. And that the country risk where, you know, there's a slight premium that will be applied in the cost of capital. And having said that,
mm-hmm.
we strongly believe this issue is fairly priced and we've made it a affordable to the ordinary Kenyan by applying a share split of 1,000 so that the price is a single digit. Thank you.
All right, Doc. I just allowed him to flow and flow and flow. But thank you so much for that context, because there has been so many questions, especially on the valuation. So feel free, even to our online participants, feel free to ask whatever question you have on this particular matter. And I'm just glad to say that at least our two CEOs are also in the house. They shall be joining us shortly. But before you end, I just wanted to sum it up, because I've seen a lot of questions based on that. A lot of people feel like this was more of a fiscal target, and that's how the valuation was done. And I want you to address them and tell them why this is not the correct position, please.
You know, I'll tell you this. You know, we are market intermediaries.
Yes.
We are regulated. We're professional. And when it comes to valuation, even if you did it outside the state context and you were dealing with a seller, that they expect a much higher value than what you're talking about, okay? And the same would apply to those. So between the seller's expectation and buyers,
okay,
whether and you know, when you talk about fiscal target, my question to you would be: in what way would it then, you know, affect, you know, this whole process that I've talked about, right? Because if you remember very well, for those in the room, we've gone through a process. With the reporting accountant, that actually challenged a couple of numbers. And we came back and said, you know, from a methodology point of view, all right, as far as valuation is concerned, this is what we stand.
Okay.
And we will not want to be able to defend your assumption, which is what I've just done, you know.
Okay, which is good. No, you've done it very well. I have just to be the recipient of any question that comes in. Maybe the final one, which could be more of a quick fire kind of thing. One of the questions was, what if the price, or once we have seen this come up and looking at what others have done, especially when they are listed at the exchange, if the price corrects post-listing to align, for example, with NSE averages, how should retail investors interpret that outcome?
The correction that I expect is an upward correction.
I love it.
Okay, because no, it's far from being on a light note.
Yes,
it's very serious.
Mm-hmm.
There's something I've said, and I don't know if we've picked it in the room.
Yeah,
let no one be misled by a politician that this price is going to half post listing.
Okay,
because some of the people telling you that behind a segment of institutional investors, of the OMCs, of the regional, of the foreign. If you talk to OMCs today, they will tell you that the allocation that we've given them perhaps is not adequate. They want more. If you talk to our local institutional, I mean, with an AUM of 2.4 trillion, we are allowing them to participate for merely 25 billion. There's significant liquidity in this market to absorb this issue, not because we're talking about KPC, but because the fundamentals are very strong. You know, we've talked about CAGR as a factor, you know, of driving valuation. Mm-hmm. If you talk to the CEO today about their outlook, they will be telling you that outside government bureaucracy, there's so much lined up, you know, to be executed. And therefore, for us, in terms of, you know, what you've just said, there are two arguments to that. Mm-hmm. One is we see another spill of demand outside the retail segment coming to the secondary market. Those who will not be able to buy in the primary, those who will not be able to buy at the IPO, are likely to go into the secondary market. And still, you find, you know, some significant demand there. What does that do to the prices that are coming in? They've seen the long-term value proposition of KPC. They're not buying to sell. Let's be very clear. Most of these guys, there's no oracle hoping to, you know, earn one or two shillings after. That is not the mindset of OMCs. That is not the mindset of our local institutional. They're in for the long game. That is not the mindset of our regional. When you talk about the market that KPC serve, be it Uganda, you know, Rwanda, South Sudan, Burundi, Eastern DRC, these people coming on board, they're not going to speculate with this asset. The same applies to foreigners. So if you're left with the 20% of the 65% retail as free float in the market, even as they exit, there will be significant demand to mop that up. And what that means is, I want to assure Kenyan that speculation about a dip in price, that's not happening anytime soon. So if that's the prediction of the prophet of doom, member of parliament, then I will tell him that it's not happening and it's not going to happen.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that and for that context. And thank you so much to online participants. I can see a lot of chats coming up here and there. Thank you. Feel free to ask any question on that valuation. Let me come to the room. Does anybody have any question for Dr. Ken just before I transition to our CEO? Anybody with a quick question? If you're there, just put up your hand, then I'll pass it to you. Going once, going twice. I think so far, I think you've explained it so well. I'm just trying to see at the back there. Oh, okay. Someone just nodded and saying they're so good.
Very good.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So thank you so much, Dr. Ken. Let's appreciate him with a round of applause. Asante sana for that.
Thank you.
But don't go too far. In case evaluation question
comes
by,
we'll
call you in. Asante sana. Asante sana.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right. There you have it. So upcoming next is the man himself, Joe Sang. And I want us to put our hands together for him as he comes to the stage as well. Karibu sana. How are you doing?
Good to see you.
Very well. Same to here.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah,
good morning, everyone.
Yeah, you have to keep punching.
Good morning, everybody. Yes. Just maybe to transition this very quickly, Joe, you know, I tried the challenge you gave me the other time we talked.
Yes.
And I did some 10 kilometers today. I am still sweating. What's up?
Sorry.
Yes, on feet.
Awesome. But welcome.
Anyway, you start slowly.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
That is five.
I know it's a busy, I know it's a busy schedule for you now.
Yes,
and as you've just heard from Daktari here, the trajectory says so far so good, and we really wish you well on this. But definitely, let me get into some of the questions that we have had and prepared for you.
Okay.
You are the man. Anytime we mention KPC, people see your face, and you have been there for quite some time now, and we would want that assurance as well that all is well in the house and everything else.
Absolutely.
But first, this is such a monumental transaction that is happening in this country, an IPO. I just wanted to ask you to give us a context of why this is so significant, as you said when you were ringing the bell.
Excellent. For the last 52 years, and I can see around in the room, there are very few of us who are 52 years. How many in the room are 52 and above?
There's nobody here.
Yeah, so basically for the last 52 years, we've been a pipeline business, transporting via ensuring security of supply of petroleum products from Mombasa, following the artery of the railway, all the way to the hinterland and the region. And a state corporation to a listed company, meaning we are moving from taking this company. And therefore, it brings so much into perspective in terms of it broadens the ownership of the company from 100% government-owned to many shareholders, thousands and thousands of Kenyans having a stake in the company. That's big for us.
Absolutely.
And it brings into perspective that many other things in terms of speed to market. Mm-hmm. For instance, being government, there are many things we'll have wished to have done. The speed of execution is not as quick as private sector. And therefore, the agility to be able to make decisions will be faster.
Faster, so, definitely. Okay.
That's one. Number two, we'll also have an opportunity for employees to own a stake in their own company. And therefore, moving from employee to a partner owner kind of a setup. That's also big for us.
Okay.
And finally, I think it will open up the company for more scrutiny in terms of the governance structure. We are looking forward to what we call the light of day in terms of publishing our accounts for our resources and importantly and half-year basis as required by CMA.
Yeah.
Today it's inward looking because it's only the office of the auditor general who are our auditors today. And being a published company, you owe the responsibility to public or the thousands of investors in terms of explaining how the books are, how the numbers, how the performance of the company in the future perspective. So we look forward to this exciting moment for Kenya Pipeline, and I'm sure many, many Kenyans are looking forward to it.
Okay.
To taking a step in this great company.
Absolutely, and we are. One of the key questions that people asked is why 65% of KPC instead of a phased out minority listing? Do you have an explanation for that?
This is mainly policy driven. This is the government keeping up for divesting.
Yeah.
And the reason for it is to allow as many owners as possible.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of more of a sabbatical model. Sabbatical, as you know, government today is only 35%.
You're right.
So it's always been what Sabbatical is today.
Excellent.
Yes.
I love that. And maybe later on, actually, we shall get some more color from the privatization CEO, who's also in the house. Thank you so much for being right here. Let me get to this IPO. It doesn't just raise capital for KPC, and you've said that before, that the money goes to government. And what exactly are investors buying into? I would like you to explain to them, what are they buying into?
Yeah, so the investors are buying into Ajela. They are buying into a company that has, and is not a track record.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, Kenya Pipeline, for the last 5 years, we paid over 24 billion shillings in terms of dividends.
Yeah.
In the shareholder.
Yeah.
Without a fail.
Mm-hmm.
We paid close to about over 30 billion in terms of taxes.
Yeah.
To support the government through mm-hmm. the Kenya Revenue Authority.
Yeah.
So when you combine those two, the dividends and taxes, it's close to about 50 billion mm-hmm. in the last 5 years. That is huge.
Yeah.
We've been consistently delivering year on year double-digit growth
mm-hmm.
in terms of top line as well as profitability.
Yeah.
And therefore, you're buying into a company whose fundamentals are very, very solid.
All right.
But talking about the future,
mm-hmm. Please paint a picture.
Just cracking the surface.
Okay.
We have a vision 2030, which is in the next 5 years, we are looking to diversify Kenya pipeline from being close to 100% pipeline operated company
yeah.
to a fully fledged diversified business. What do I mean by that? By 2030, 20% of our revenue
yeah.
will be coming from alternative sources of revenue.
Yeah.
Today we have the fiber optic,
yeah.
which is laid alongside our pipeline,
mm-hmm.
The 1,342 kilometers
yeah.
of pipeline, but it's called dark fiber.
Mm-hmm.
So we have few customers. That's a very called MTN, JTL, who are our customers today.
Mm-hmm.
But by lighting, it means we even allow the ISPs to partake of it. You are basically taking it the last mile. By putting in lighting, it means you're putting active equipment
yeah.
into the fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And we've sized the market. Mm-hmm. We've done the market sounding, and the potential is huge. The demand is something else.
Yeah.
And therefore, our revenue from the fiber optic business in the next 5 years
mm-hmm.
will consider close to about 15%
okay.
of the entire business.
All right.
The other 5%, we are looking at LPG.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, we call it transition fuel. And in Mombasa today, we have the Kenya Petroleum Refineries, which is sitting on huge potential, 377 acres of land from facing the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And we are looking to do the import bulk facility of yeah. the LPG.
Yeah.
We've done our study in terms of the source, which is Mombasa. We're also looking to have in Nairobi and key towns,
mm-hmm.
Eldoret, Kisumu and Sagana. That's from our internal assessment. And our ambition as a company,
mm-hmm.
we believe with our massive infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
we want to reduce the cost of LPG today.
Yeah.
As you all know, and Kenyans know this, if you go to any station today and you want to buy a 6 kg, a 13 kg, it's very, very expensive. And it's also out of reach for many Kenyans.
Yeah.
And we believe Kenya Pipeline is that company that is going to play a big role in bringing down the cost of gas in this country.
Okay.
The government ambition is to increase the per capita from 7.2 kilograms
mm-hmm.
per household today to about 15 by 2028, 2029,
yeah.
which is the next 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And we believe with the LPG, Kenya Pipeline plays a significant role, and that will be also a very, very good revenue stream for us.
Mm-hmm.
We also look at increasing our footprint beyond Kenya, doing a pipeline from Eldoret all the way to Malaba, Kampala, mm-hmm. as well as all the way to Kigali,
yeah.
into the border of DRC. That's in our expansion plans.
Yeah.
We're also looking at the jetty. I'm sure you're aware that we have a Kisumu Oil jetty,
yeah.
which to date has transported close to about 800 million liters
okay.
using the sea.
Yeah.
And therefore, we're even reducing the number of trucks
mm-hmm.
that are damaging our roads today.
Okay.
We are partnering with a company in Uganda called Mahadi Infra.
Mm-hmm.
They have a huge facility in Ajebe. There is a potential to do one in Bukoba.
Mm-hmm.
the northern Tanzania, and therefore we are looking at using natural resources such as water to be able to leverage and transport petroleum products.
Okay.
And therefore the future for these companies is great.
Wow. You know, I was sitting somewhere, and I think there will always be critics that will always look at the other side. As they say, the coin has two sides. One of them was talking about the future of energy, and you being at the core of it all. What did you tell people? Because some people would keep saying sometimes, we're not certain whether in 20 years, 30 years, Joe or somebody else will come up and say, we are transitioning. Does that in any way affect them? Wow, what did you tell them?
That's a good one. Let me just start by saying, even as Kenya Pipeline today, and I was doing this math the other day. If you look at a line from, which is a 400-kilometer line, from Mombasa to Nairobi, that's the 450-kilometer line.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, if you compute the number of trucks that we are able by having a pipeline which is buried underneath, we are eliminating close to about 33,000 trucks on a monthly basis. Just picture this out. How many, in terms of road accidents, the carbon monoxide that is being emitted by these trucks? We did that, and from an ESG standpoint, actually having a pipeline in itself is the number one ESG strategy for us. We've also done a lot in terms of solarization. This is a chapter we are going into. We want to solarize our operations. And we started with our headquarters today. We used to be 100% electricity.
Yeah.
And our bills were about 8 million shillings. We've been able to scale that to by 40% by using solar. And today we have a consultant who is helping us in terms of figuring out.
Okay.
The biggest consumer. Today we are paying our sister company, Kenya Power, close to 300 million shillings per month.
That's a lot.
If you annualize that, that is 3.6 million shillings per year. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
And therefore, we are looking to scale that. And the biggest consumer is actually the pump, running a pump station. And the consultant will surely advise us in terms of how then can we solarize that. So we believe with solarization, it's also just a way of moving into renewables.
Absolutely.
LBG, as I said, is a transition energy.
Yeah.
We're moving away from the fossil. And by the way, I know there's a man talked about the net zero by 2050. But from the analysis we've done, fast forward into 2050, the next 25 years from now, the fossil fuel is here to stay. You've heard the American president himself, Trump, saying, drill, baby, drill. And basically, the future of oil is here to stay.
Yeah.
When you look at the EVs, They were in the US and they were in Europe in the last 15, 20 years. But they still use fossil in their operations.
Yeah.
So we believe it's going to be a balance.
Yeah.
When we look at the gasoline and oil in the next 25 years, there'll be a reduction all over. But with the increased population of Africa by 2050, we do believe that the demand for petroleum products is still going to be there.
Excellent.
Talk about the EVs in terms of electrics. What are we doing as a company? We're actually seeing that as an opportunity for us because we have the infrastructure, which are mainly along the main highways of our country. And we are actually looking to explore setting up the EVs, charging stations within our operations and we charge revenue. So really for us, it's a great opportunity. We don't see it as a threat.
Okay. Lovely. Quite an assurance there. I want to come into the room and maybe, Joe, once we pick a question or two here, you'll also end by assuring the investors that they are getting into something good for the near future as well. So let me come to the room. Anybody with a question, especially the people who say we want Joe in the house. so please, if you don't, I can see there's some hands already. So if you don't mind, you can pass the mic. Then we can have it down. So please press that microphone to... I call this man the profitable man. He always looks for anything that is profitable.
Nice.
Please feel free, and you can say where you're coming from, name and where you're coming from, and then ask the question. Just put it on so that at least we can hear you. Mike, please. Good morning.
Everybody.
Yeah, it's almost can't there. It's almost there. But you can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes. Just speak.
Yeah. Use that one. Yes. Sorry about that.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
My name is Wesley Manambo from Standard Investment Bank.
Yeah.
Happy to see KPC coming to market.
Great.
Congratulations to you and the advisor for beating our expectation. We expected it 5 weeks later.
Okay.
Quite early. I was looking at your analysis and focus on protection that were passed in the information memorandum. And I was keen to note that from the year 2028.
Just use the mic, put it close to you. Yes.
From the year 2028,
still working.
There's some increase in terms of borrowing, which on a simple statistical correlation seems to be going towards property and equipment, majority of it being absorbed there. So I'm wondering, what project do you have in mind that kicks off at the year 2028?
Good. All right. That's a good question. Do you have another one? So that you can take maybe two. Just going round. Just pass the mic here to the front. Pass the mic here to the front, if you don't mind. Yes.
Ask for the tough questions.
Yes. He's ready for the tough questions. So feel free to ask that. Yes.
Nice to see you, Joe.
Yeah.
My name is Ronaldo de Souza from Standard Capital.
Yeah.
My question relates to the taxation policy. I saw in your information you're talking about
30%. And previous IPOs have been between, I think, 20 and 25% corporate tax. I thought we would get a concession once you list. So is it something that is in the works, or why 30% and not 20 or 25%? I think the last IPO,
yeah.
I think CoopBank was 20% for 5 years before it reverted to 30%.
Okay, that's a good question. Sounds like a transaction advisor, man.
Yeah.
And a question. All right, so I'll be calling you to answer that. But I want to ask my profitable man to ask that question again that you want to answer. For the sake of online viewers, they didn't hear you well.
No, I'll call the question.
Yes, but they didn't hear them well. We also have a lot of online guys. So if you don't mind, could you ask the question one more time in a profitable way?
Yeah.
Yes. The mic back. Please put the mic. Yes, go ahead.
Perfect.
Yes.
Good morning once again. Yeah. My question is with regards to your forecast. I was quite keen to look at your own internal view of the business going forward, and looking at your projections 26 to 30, there is an increase in borrowing, which is around 13 billion all the way up to 45 billion from 28 to 30. And when I did some simple statistical correlation, much of it seems to be fully absorbed by property, plant, and equipment. So I was quite curious, what project do you have in mind that kicks off in the year 2028?
Excellent question.
Good. So the big spend that we have to kick in 2028-29 is against the pipeline. We, with the increasing demand of petroleum products, as I say, we want to do a new line from Mombasa to Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be calling it Line 7.
Okay.
And it will be a combination of debt and equity. As you know, today we are debt-free.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did borrow in 2015, 2016, thereabouts, $350 million
mm-hmm.
from a syndication. There was no single bank in this country
mm-hmm.
that could give us single-handedly that amount of money. $350 million is 50 billion shillings.
Yeah.
It was a consortium of six banks that came together, a 10-year loan, and we were able to finish it in seven and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan is to borrow for that line. As you all know, this is one of the key barriers to entry of, and this is the reason why Kenya should invest in this company, is it's not easy
mm-hmm.
to operate a pipeline.
Yeah.
A 450-kilometer line will cost you close to about 50 billion shillings.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it's not everybody that can wake up and say, I'm doing a pipeline.
Okay.
So to answer you, and PPE, that is a line from Mombasa to Nairobi, to complement what is there and to be able to serve the larger East Africa market, which we expect it will grow.
Yeah.
Today, our mix in terms of local and export, we're at 48% Kenya, 52% export. The countries of Uganda, DRC, South Sudan, Somalia, Rwanda, Burundi, Northern Tanzania. We expect that mix to move from 48-52 to actually 40-60. That means 60% of our demand will be consumed by the region. And therefore, with the increasing demand, we expect to increase our capacity in terms of the supply. Yeah, so that's the main increase under PPE.
All right. That's a good one. Do you mind passing the microphone to the transaction advisor? Just from where you are, there's a camera. They can just check on him so that he can answer that question that has been asked. And I hope you've got to just give it to him. There you go. Yes. Yeah. Put it on so that at least we can hear him out. Lovely. Just put on the mic. Koichi, we don't mind. Put on the mic so that he can answer. Yes, go ahead. Yes, all right. It's this other one. Sorry, we have many. Because we expected many questions. Lovely. Go ahead.
Yeah. Very well. Yeah. I'll touch on taxation, but also add to what the CEO has said in regards to debt and capex. So I think for the taxation one is a very straightforward answer. You know, if you talk about 208 and the previous issues, you know, tax is a dynamic policy in this country. So those provisions were made for an incentive. So we used to perhaps work with the NSE and other stakeholders to actually lobby the government to give us preferential treatment as a way of bringing companies to the exchange. And therefore, yes, depending on whether you were going to the main market or the alternative market, there was some incentive on the tax part. It has since been repealed. So we do not enjoy those particular preferential treatment anymore. And that's why, you know, the tax is stated at 30%. There are no incentive coming to the market. So really, it's just change of tax policy. That's the answer to your question, D'Souza. Now, specific to CapEx, I think it's important for the analysts in the room to know that for the next 5 years, we're talking about a CapEx program of 110 billion. If you look at the past 5 years, it's pretty much mirroring what we're talking about. And the borrowing, Wesley, that you're talking about, the borrowing kicks in, you know, in 27, 28, and 29. So there is a program on the borrowing part, which is totaling 50 billion, you know, 13 billion in, you know, what you're calling 27, 32 billion in 28, and then 5 billion in 29. That's the program. So it's 13, 32, and then 5, that's the 50 billion that we're talking about. So it will come to supplement, you know, the organic financing of the company so that they can finance the 110 billion capex. So for the 110, external financing would be 50 billion with a program that you'll see not only in the cash flow from financing activity, but also in the balance sheet, because there's an amortized cost method that's actually giving you the closing balances in the balance sheet year on year for that particular program. Again, in terms of term, we're looking at 10 years for that particular loan with 2 years moratorium. It's pretty much close to the terms that the company enjoyed in the past when they were building, you know, line 5 with the $350 million. It was 10 years, 2 years moratorium with a SOFR plus a margin of about 3% in USD. So when you're modeling, it would be important, you know, to take into account those considerations. And well, we're also talking about off-balance sheet financing possibly. So what we've given you is as is on conservative basis. But the company is thinking about tapping the capital market with a bond program, you know, to actually access cheaper financing and perhaps even go through SPV project financing so that they're not doing the financing overall, but having a 30-70 type of structure where they will seed capital into the SPV and then leverage the bond program to actually drive the CapEx financing, which is actually aimed at, you know, modernizing and expanding the capacity, as the CEO has put it. Thank you.
All right, Joe, I would like to ask you to assure Kenyans, investors, even the global investors who are watching. We have a lot of them. We partnered with the Wall Street, who are also streaming it out as well to as many people as well. So if you don't mind, maybe straight to this camera that is facing you. Just assure them, what assurance do you have for them as they buy so they can buy more, probably double that?
So to our potential investors, the investors in the coming few days, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. This is a chance to own a stake in this great company. The company has a great future. The company is here to make a return for you. The dividend policy is at 50%. I can assure you, same time next year, you'll be smiling in your banks because you'll have money in your account. Take advantage of it.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe.
Let's appreciate Joe.
Asante, Shana. But Joe, don't go too far because we only have about 15 more minutes or so with the privatization CEO as well. Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the privatization CEO as she comes as well to speak to us. Karibu sana. Welcome and please have a seat. Excellent. To our online participants, I hope you are feeling a little satisfied with all your questions because we can't wait for you to take up the offers as well and ensure that all your questions are answered. And the people at the helm of this are answering them for you. Welcome, madam. And it's good to see you again, Jane Rose. And we just want to pick it from where we stopped. And one of the key things, and I asked you that you could pick up from there, is that this is quite a monumental moment as well. And from the privatization sector of government side, I would like you to paint a picture to the people as well. Why is this so significant in this country as well?
Thank you.
Yeah.
So this IPO is significant in this country at the moment because first, it is the largest and most significant IPO in Kenyan history.
Yeah.
The government has previously issued IPOs, ACB, Safaricom. However, in this IPO, the government is giving the Kenyan public and the international investors an opportunity to own a part of this most critical asset of the government.
Yeah.
And if you look at this IPO, as one as the transaction advisor said, the government is democratizing ownership.
Yeah.
The government is looking at everybody coming on board, the mama mboga. Mm-hmm. Look at the pricing. Look at the minimum volume of 100.
Yeah.
With 900 shillings, you become a part owner.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, one of the key questions I got and people are asking is that they hope that you now are the helm of privatization. We shall see more coming.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I love that. That's a good assurance.
Yes.
Let's move on a bit. And I wanted to ask you to paint a picture on the choice of 65% of KPC. Instead, probably you're facing out minority listing. Why this choice?
And again, as has been said,
This
is modeled around the structure that is in Safaricom.
Yeah.
And you've seen the kind of growth that Safaricom has seen.
Mm-hmm.
The government has made a decision not to just give and hold with the other hand.
Yeah.
You know, when you give a minority stake and government is still in control, this company then is not removed from the speed of government, the bureaucracy of government.
Okay.
However, when it gives away a majority, then the government, the entity is free to go and make decisions private sector style and grow and even make investment decisions.
Okay.
It also opens it up to even raise more capital for the ambitious growth that the company envisions.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the reason why.
Okay.
So not giving and holding back, but giving and giving away.
Okay.
So that the public can own and own truly.
Okay.
Yes.
I love that.
Thank you.
Speaking about the public.
Yes.
And we had a conversation with the lead transaction advisor, the pricing, which is quite friendly when we use that word. Let's talk about the mama mboga because the government of the day speaks a lot about going to the bottom and ensuring that they can participate.
Yes.
So this being the first fully electronic IPO, I wanted to ask you how you are ensuring that people in the rural areas, the mama mbogas of today, the retailers, aren't sidelined by the digital barrier. How are you ensuring that?
When you look at the structure of this IPO, it is actually riding on the same technology that M-Pesa rides on.
Okay.
And as you know, M-Pesa in this country brought about economic inclusion.
Yeah.
Brought on board the mama mboga, the youth, and everybody.
Yeah.
And this IPO is running on USSD code.
Mm-hmm.
The 483, star 483, star 816 hash.
Mm-hmm.
This is a technology that runs on the most basic of telephones.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, 90% of Kenyans are able to transact on M-Pesa.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they will be able to transact on this, on their mobile phones, on this USSD. But then, this has not removed the market intermediaries, the stockbrokers, the investment banks, the selling agents. Mm-hmm. They are on the ground. Mm-hmm. So anybody who may have challenges with this application is free and can access a bank near them, mm-hmm. a stockbroker near them, a selling agent near them, and they'll get helped.
Okay.
You know, in this country, we have services such as the Social Health Insurance Fund,
yeah.
the National Social Security Fund, mm-hmm. KRA, mm-hmm. running on the same kind of platform.
Mm-hmm.
And it has not excluded anybody in the country. We just have service on the technology supported by human beings
mm-hmm.
in terms of today, if you're having a challenge with NSSF, KRA, you work in a Huduma Center.
Mm-hmm.
Post office has branches all over. And the Huduma Center then becomes the face, the human face of the technological service that yeah. we are getting. Mm-hmm. So this will run on the same kind of arrangement.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lovely, lovely. There was a lot of questions, especially on the IM, that is the information memorandum. And I just wanted you to paint a picture,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a bit the activities that were carried out in this particular part, so that at least all the questions for any potential investor has it. Could you address that?
So now, as part of the implementation process for this transaction, the first step was to onboard transaction advisors.
Yeah.
And we onboarded transaction advisors, with the lead being FIDA Investment Bank.
Yeah.
We have legal, we have receiving banks and others. The main purpose of onboarding these transaction advisors is first to conduct due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
And in conducting this due diligence, then these transaction advisors go into the company
yeah.
and just look at every aspect of this company. They conduct financial due diligence just to be sure that the financials of this company are what is being reported.
Yeah.
And that the financials then meet the requirements of the capital markets.
You're right.
So that they are able to go out. We are able to go out with an IPO.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the legal due diligence in terms of compliance, mm-hmm. in terms of the company makeup,
mm-hmm.
so that it is ready for an IPO.
Yeah.
And during this due diligence, then anything that is significant and requires to be disclosed in the information memorandum
yeah.
as required by the CMA regulations,
mm-hmm.
then it's disclosed in the information memorandum.
Yeah.
There is also a reporting accountant
mm-hmm.
who is independent from the usual auditor
mm-hmm.
of the company.
Yeah.
Independent so that they look at the financials of this company,
mm-hmm.
the operations of this company,
mm-hmm.
and then they are able to give an opinion to it just to assure the public
yeah.
that the company is what it is being said to be.
All right.
And this was led by PwC,
mm-hmm.
and PwC went in and made their report.
Yeah.
And this is part of the information memorandum.
Mm-hmm.
So I can assure Kenyans
mm-hmm.
that a lot of work went to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have assurance that the company we are presenting to you is what it is.
Excellent. We can't wait to see you here on this board, you know, transacting and us just making some profits, as you're assuring us. But as we come to an end,
yes.
from a public interest perspective, because
yes.
a lot of people are still asking these questions, we want to assure them as well.
Mm-hmm.
What would make this IPO a success?
For me, this IPO will be a success when as many Kenyans as possible can buy into it.
Okay.
The mama mboga,
mm-hmm.
the youth.
Yeah.
We have our youth that are monetizing social media.
Yeah.
They have money, but they don't know where to take it.
Okay.
I want to encourage them. This is where to invest. This is a profitable company. This is a company with a future.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put your money in this company. And I assure you will get a chance for me.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get this broad ownership, and then the company is able to deliver
mm-hmm.
profits, to deliver to our economy, and to deliver to the economy of the region,
mm-hmm.
then we will have had a successful IPO.
All right. I love that. I want to close by asking you the same question I started with.
Yes.
Because we have seen this since 2008. This is the first IPO that has been brought to the market by government since then. And I wanted to ask you, what else can we expect from you as the privatization authority in the near future?
So now, mm-hmm. from late last year, we got a new act.
Yeah.
This new act is the Privatization Act of 2025,
mm-hmm.
and it repealed the Privatization Act of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
With this new act, then, we are now embarking on coming up with a new program that aligns with this new act.
Mm-hmm.
Once the new program is on board, then we can be sure we shall be getting more IPOs.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, lovely.
Thank you.
I have to give an opportunity to some of the analysts in the house and media partners as well to ask a question. Does anybody got a question to the CEO, privatization, or did I ask all the questions? I hope not. Just check in. Is there a hand going up? Excellent. I designated one man to have a question for every CEO. So I want to pass the mic to him right away. He represents a lot of the majority of investors, actually, who are face-fronting some of these people who want to buy. So please press the mic to him so they can ask the question. That's why I sat him at the front. Yes, yes, there you go. Yes, there you go. Yes.
No, I don't know.
Oh, he doesn't. I love that. I was putting him on the spot. No worries. Chairman, do you have a question? Yeah, lovely, lovely. And I think that's good. From the online participations, let me just check quickly the people who are here. Lovely. I think it's quite clear. I think a lot of people are asking, so there is a profit margin when I buy a share in Kenya Pipeline. I think the answer is yes, right? There will be, right? Someone is just asking, I think, will there be a profit margin? What do I tell them? I'm looking at the transaction advisor. Absolutely, it's embedded on the financials.
Yes.
You know, online questions, we ask them as they come. Let me see if there's any other. Lovely. Somebody's just saying, hello, brothers, we can see you. Thank you so much. All the greetings, we have received them. Thank you so much once again for
Thank
that.
You.
But before you end,
yes,
I want you to speak in whatever language you can,
yes,
straight to the camera.
Yes.
Assure Kenyans,
yes,
that this transaction is for them and they better get it to them. So please, go ahead.
So to Kenyans,
yes,
from the Privatization Authority, we are an agent. We are not the company. We are not the shareholder. What we are bringing to market is an IPO that is worth being invested in. Come forward, invest in this IPO. As you've been told by the transaction advisor, there is demand. Be a part of it and be a part of this history. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for your time.
Thank you. Thank
Let's
you.
Appreciate her. Santi Sana. There you go. Just to appreciate our online participants who have been very keen in watching, Asante Sana. And feel free, even on the comments, if you're going to catch this conversation later, to ask as many questions as you can. Just want to appreciate our partners, the Kenya Wall Street as well, who as well also streaming, and everybody who participated, Asante Sana, and salutations to the CEOs who made time for this. Definitely, they have roadshows, they have a lot of things to do, but we appreciate that. Feel free to ask any other questions. We shall be able to indeed give you the feedback. Thank you so much. That has been this morning on the Trading Bell Tunnel. Asante Sana. Bye-bye. Oh, that's where you clap. Thank you.